Blog Talk Radio.
This is Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, speaking truth to power and ourselves at Our Common Ground, transforming truth to power, one broadcast at a time. Thank you for being with us tonight.
And thank you for being with us so much. We're good, glad to have you with us. I'm Janice Graham, and my co-host, Alpha, is here tonight with us. Good evening, Alpha. How are you?
Good evening, Janice. How are you this evening? How's everyone in the
good.
Chat room and all?
Yeah, we do want to say hi to our listeners in the chat room, and for those of you who would like to join us in our chat room at Blog Talk Radio, it's blogtalkradio.com/OCG. And tonight at Our Common Ground, Alpha, we're going to be talking about something that I find so very, very painful, and that is that we have had yet again another murder of a young black man. And there has been no justice. And it is very unlikely that there will be a justice. And, of course, for those of you, our listeners, we're talking about the sentencing of a BART police officer who in cold blood killed Oscar Grant. And I'm still coughing. And he received his sentencing on Thursday. 2 years, the life of a black man is only worth the punishment of 2 years for a trained police officer who shot him in the back as he lay face down on the platform of a transportation train station. And I, for the life of me, cannot understand how the life of a young black man was so minimized, so marginalized, that this kind of sentence came from a judge. Alpha, what are you thinking about this?
Well, I'm looking at the repercussions and ramifications, period. You know, and you look at these judges, and you look, you know, the response has been predictable, but effective response is what is needed. You know, Supreme Court in Iowa that ruled on gay marriage and ruled in favor of gay marriage. And what did they do? The moneyed fringes organized and removed these judges. Literally organized, put billboards up on who not to vote for. Now, we've just had an election, and I've got to tell you, there were some 20-something judges to be. And they're not running against each other, but you had to say yes or no to them. And I had never heard of any of them. But what happened here was there was a concerted effort by this right-wing group who was so upset that gay marriage had been okay, that they just voted no, and the same was in effect. All they had a choice of was yes or no. And this is the type of response that you see that is funded, that is financed, that is organized. We have our responses to gather in the streets, tear up some stuff, and a lot of people get arrested and, you know, basically show our displeasures. And, you know, that seems to be our only recourse rather than the smart recourse, which is to this judge should be targeted and this judge should be campaigned off the bench. And each and every one of these judges that seem to not take the life of young black men, old black, of any black people, any person, should be voted out. And that's what I'm looking at. The travesty is done. The whole, you know, why would you even be reaching for a damn taser? The man is face down. Was he cuffed? Yes. So the man is face down. You got your knee in his back. There are three officers standing around him. Why are you even reaching for a taser? Oh, I thought it was my gun. Tell me they weigh the same. They do not.
Well, I mean, I even examined it in another way. There was nothing. I have seen four different versions, video versions or video features of what was happening in that BART station on January 1st, 2009. And one of the things that occurs to me is that nothing was happening out of the ordinary in regard to this stop, this seizure, and this arrest. There was not one suspect that was out of control, including Oscar Grant. And you make a good point, Alfo. At some point, we have got to hold judges accountable for the denial of justice. You know, Alfo, you know, and members who are of our audience who are with us often know that I have this recurring theme about how our children lose confidence in the adults in our community. As long as we allow a judge who is appointed by the state, whether elected or not, at some point the authorization of that judgeship is appointed by the state. As long as our children watch us and they know that we are not going to get or demand justice, they will second guess us, they will doubt us and see it as betrayal. That is how it works, folks. That's exactly how it works. Our number tonight is 347-838-9852. If you would like to talk with us about the Mercerly verdict, Johann Mercerly sentencing stunned Oscar Grant supporters and sparked a riot in Oakland, California. The Grant supporters are crying foul. And they took to the street after the verdict. This was in no way could anyone say that this was justice. 152 were arrested in Oakland on Thursday night following the sentencing. Police arrested people who streamed through the streets on Friday, breaking windows and knocking down fences. And then there will be some of us who will say, hey, why are they taking on this outrageous behavior?
Well, that was
because people are tired.
That was the entire narrative, Janice. You know, I saw a press conference. There was an African-American spokesman for the police department. You know, they parade them out there when it's necessary, when it's convenient. I don't know if he was the chief of police. I don't know if he was, you know, I don't know what ranking or what he held. All I know is they paraded an African-American out there in uniform to say that we understand, you know, the display, but we're not going to allow you to tear up the, you know, and this seems to be the reoccurring theme, you know. You're angry, You want to protest somehow, so you go out and you start, you know, a little vandalism. But is that the right way? Is that the right response? Wouldn't the better response be to organize and vote this bastard off the bench, and not just him? Go down the line and vote whoever, you know, all the other, you know, judges who seem to feel like that they are, you know, they hide in the shadows of anonymity because the people, the voting public, does not know who they are. They don't pay attention. Low information. And that's what cloaks them. That's what they depend on, is our ignorance.
But Alpha, there's another way in which to look at this. There have been very peaceful and persistent and consistent protests about this. People knew that this police officer was never going to see the kind of punishment that he should have seen because this was a cold-blooded murder.
And the judge had
the rally got out of control because BART police and Oakland police surrounded the area where the protest was occurring. And this police chief, Anthony Batts, said after one officer had his gun taken from him in a fight and another police officer was hit by a car, and I understand today that car was a police car. Nobody was driving a police car but a policeman. It was the incompetent way in which the police tried to contain Friday's protests. And that is what got out of control. We want to thank Fire Linus and House Music Lover, Kay James, and Lion's Den, Navaxor, and Twee 1968 for joining us in the Our Common Ground chat room tonight. Thank you so much. Our number is 347-838-9852. You're listening to Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, and my co-host, of course, is Alpho of the Alpho Show. And we invite you to join in this conversation. And Alpha, I really think that we have to focus on we are justifiably angry. There should not be anyone who is not angry that this police officer who cold-bloodedly murdered Oscar Grant will spend less than 152 days in jail. I mean, I understood the pain and disappointment sparked by that sentence. I have the same, I share that pain of that community. This man faced a possible, he was found guilty of a crime where he faced a possible 14-year maximum term after being convicted of involuntary manslaughter.
And you give him two.
At the time of the shooting, he was a BART, a transit officer, responding to a report of a fight, and there were three men involved, and all three men at the time that Oscar Grant was murdered, all three of them were sitting on the floor and handcuffed.
Well, Oscar Grant was chest down.
Yes.
He was chest down.
But they were all contained.
With a knee in his back. So why would a taser? He said he's reaching for a taser. Why?
Yes.
And see, when the dots don't connect, that is what, and it's so blatant. That is where the anger, you know, generates from. I mean, the mere fact that you shot and killed an unarmed black man, handcuffed, face down, and what you see in comments on the stories that you see at the websites is tragic, but it was an accident. That wasn't a damn accident. And,
you're
and you know,
right.
And, you, and absolutely, that's what you get from, you know, the white people who comment on it. You know, how terrible it was and how that. Well, you've got a history of this. This is a history. African Americans know, black people know, you have a history of murder by police. And that's what you call it, murder by police, because that's what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. And one of the things, the question that I have tonight, Alpha, and I'm getting very afraid about what the answers might be, is that in 1969, 1972, being black and having a black protest and having raised the issue of black injustice meant something. And my question is, are we still black in America? What does it mean that we're seeing these things over and over and over? Just what in the world does it mean? Let's take a look for those of you in our audience. This is a clip of the response of the Oscar Grant family, which really summarizes, I think, what all of us are experiencing about this sentencing.
But we are going to start tonight with the breaking news coming in from California. A former transit police officer who is white has just been convicted in the shooting death of an unarmed black man at a BART train station in Oakland, California.
My son was murdered. He was murdered. He was murdered. And the law has not held the officer accountable the way that he should have been held accountable.
The verdict is such that it was expected, and I'll be very honest about that.
We are not happy with the verdict. We're happy they found him guilty, but we want more.
I'm not satisfied with the involuntary manslaughter charge. I definitely believe that Metro Lee had knowledge that he picked up his gun, and I do believe that he intentionally meant to shoot him.
The verdict is unjust. I mean, it's the hypocrisy of America. What I'm saying is, like, when you're on the judicial system, you write the books, you know the end of the story. So they write the books, they got the laws on the books, so they know the end of the story.
Popo on patrol, control my block. Local in the soul, that folks gon' drop. Divide and conquer, you might get got. Buy stick up kick with the bad don't stop.
The judge in the Messerly trial could sentence him to anything from 14 years to probation.
So where do you think, based on history, the judge may land between the 14 years and probation?
I think a prison sentence is likely, but it's going to be somewhere on the low end of the possible prison sentences.
He shot and killed Oscar Grant on a BART platform last year.
He used to enforce the law. Now he's behind bars convicted of breaking the law. He is Johannes Messerly.
Why did you agree to talk to us? You know, some people will say it's for sympathy.
You know, I'm not asking for any sympathy.
You know, some people see you as a racist. Are you?
No, ma'am.
A cold-blooded killer?
No, ma'am. I'm peaceful by my own nature.
You didn't think you'd be convicted of anything?
No, ma'am.
Make it rock.
Breaking news. He has sentenced Messerly to 2 years.
Again, the judge calling for 2 years in state prison. That is the low term for the involuntary manslaughter.
Strictly sentencing him on involuntary manslaughter, not taking into consideration a gun enhancement provision.
The family of Oscar Grant very upset with that and also upset with the fact that he is granted a new trial on the gun enhancement charges.
This sentence could have ranged anywhere from probation to up to 14 years. But again, Judge Robert Perry saying just minutes ago he is sentencing Messerly to 2 years, and he is also giving him credit for time served.
There's one person I really want to introduce, and I think everyone should stand up when I introduce her. And every time I look at her, I just can't believe it. This is Oscar Grant's daughter right here. This is Tatiana.
Say hello. Hello.
There's so many family members up here. There's Rose, everyone. I can't introduce everyone, but I just want everyone to pay attention to this letter that Lisa is going to read to you. Pay close attention, and this letter speaks for Oscar Grant, and it represents the community, and it, we hope that it makes the judge give Johannes Mezley the full session.
Good afternoon, everybody. I do not stand here alone today. I stand here with my family, and that includes all of the boys who were on the platform and their mothers and their sisters and brothers and their children. We need to remember that they were victims as well as Oscar. Dear Honorable Judge Robert Perry, I am writing this letter in an effort to share my thoughts about Johannes Mezley's sentencing on November 5th, 2010 for the unlawful killing of Oscar Julius Grant III and to see that justice is served. I am a concerned member of the public, and more importantly, I am aunt to Tatiana Grant, Oscar Grant's six-year-old daughter. Oscar's death has impacted me harshly. I have always felt proud and privileged to be an American. After watching the police officers' misconduct of verbal and physical abuse and the unlawful shooting, my feelings of pride became feelings of anger and tremendous disappointment. I couldn't believe what I had seen. I was appalled that BART and city and state officials reacted with little or no concern. I thought, what's wrong is wrong, no matter the color of your skin or occupation. I remember asking myself, this is America, how could this happen? It felt like a stab in the heart from the country I love. I now often wrestle with the urge to be angry toward all police officers. I remember receiving the call from my mother around 6 a.m. January 1st, 2009. My mom said, Oscar was shot and he's in the hospital. Put on the news, your sister is on. Shortly after, I arrived at Highland Hospital in Oakland, California. Among many memories, one sticks out the most. I remember Wanda Johnson running into the waiting room and falling to her knees, weeping. No words, just tears. She had just been told her son died. I became numb. I watched men sob, some lying face down on the floor. Also, I will never forget when I arrived at my sister Sophina's home. I sobbed as she told me how she broke the news to my then 4-year-old niece, Tatiana. Tatiana's reaction tore me to pieces. My heart aches every time I see that precious little girl. Just recently, Tatiana, who is now 6 years old, lost her tooth. I watched as she proudly walked over toward me to show me her tooth. As she was talking to me, I thought to myself, Oscar doesn't get to experience this joy, the joy that a parent receives when we witness our children lose their tooth and prepare for the tooth fairy. Oscar did not get to see Tatiana's first day of school. He will not be able to take pictures with Tatiana and send her off to high school or her high school prom. He will never get to experience the glorious moment a father experiences when he walks his daughter down the aisle to be married. Oscar deserves justice. He shouldn't have been shot. He shouldn't have died January 1st, 2009. His life and its experiences were robbed from him. Death should not have been warranted to him. The loss of Oscar's life is an example of the police officers who feel free to disregard the constitutional rights of all citizens they are supposed to protect and serve. I have no complaint with the thousands of California law enforcement personnel who do their jobs within the rules. These are honorable men and women who deserve respect and support. However, there are bad cops who break the law and violate the rights of citizens. This should not be tolerated. These officers should be punished for the crimes they commit. They should not be allowed special treatment because they wear or wore a badge. with the utmost respect, Your Honor, I strongly urge you to give the maximum sentence of 14 years to Johannes Mazzoli. He killed a young man, and through the murder, he devastated many, many family members and close friends. For these reasons, Johannes Mazzoli should serve the maximum sentence. A sentence of 14 years is not enough, but anything less will be another stab in our hearts. It would be a message to our community that we don't matter and that Oscar doesn't matter, that our police officers can kill us with little or no consequences. Oscar was 22 years old, unarmed, cooperating, and lying face down with his hands behind his back. In his last moments of life, what did he feel? Afraid? Helpless? Abused? We know he thought of Tatiana. And my next part I don't want to read because my niece is standing next to me and it's a little too graphic. But we know that he thought of her in his last moment. And I'm sure he was afraid. And that is not a way that his last moments of life he should have felt. He was robbed of his wife. A little girl was robbed of her father. A young woman was robbed of her future husband. And a mother was robbed of her son. For this, Johannes Mazzoli deserves a sentence of 14 years. Sincerely, a grieving family member and a concerned citizen. Thank you.
And there you have it, the mother of Oscar Grant. A cop kills Oscar Grant in cold blood, January 1st, 2009. On November 5th, 2010, Judge Robert Perry handed this police officer a minimum 2-year prison sentence. And he has already served 146 days in jail. Those were the news reports. But what is not news to us is that a black person can be gunned down in cold blood by a police officer, and he can get away with it. Perhaps we have forgotten how to be black in America. You're listening to Our Common Ground. Our number is 347-838-9852. And we're inviting you to share with us your impressions, your observations, your analysis of the sentencing of a cold-blooded killer who was a cop. We're going to take a break, Alpha, and when we come back, we'll take your call. Listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. This is where we make radio matter, speaking truth to power and ourselves. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you.
I want to to know why I'm fine 1 minute and the next my body aches so bad I can't move.
I want to know why my hair is falling out. I'm only 17.
I'm tired all the time. Now this rash. I just want to know what's going on.
When you don't have the right answers, it may be time to ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Hi out there, this is Janice Graham of Our Common Ground. Want to remind you of some of the terrific broadcast shows available to all you talkers. The India Declare Show, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. and Saturday at 11 a.m. The Alpha Show, every Saturday, 3 p.m. And following that 3 p.m. broadcast, he's at TruthWorks Network at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget of all the audio documentary being provided at TruthWorks Network here at Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham, and I'm sure me and my friends will be listening for you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Janice, could your mic be on mute?
And my mic was on mute, and thank you so much for being with us. I was running my mouth like a crazy woman. Tonight at Our Common Ground, we're talking about the 152 people arrested in the Oakland sentencing protest and the sentencing of 2 years, which is, in my opinion, outrageous for the cold-blooded murder of a 22-year-old man, Oscar Grant. We just heard a clip before going on break that gave a big picture of this case. And the question tonight really is, what about the value of black life in American jurisprudence? It seems as though we're not seeing very much justice in these cases, and we're seeing a lot of police brutality. We're seeing a lot of police officers over long periods of time that seem to not have to face the same penalty if there were a white victim or if the victim is black. Our number is 347-838-9852, and we invite you to join us in this conversation by dialing the number and sharing with us your impressions of what has happened here. It seems as though, it just seems that a black person can be gunned down in cold blood by a law enforcement officer, and that law enforcement officer can get away with it. Because if you think about it, Michael Vick got 2 years for the dog thing. Remember that?
Absolutely. You know, Janice, I'm not sure how what kind of sentence was handed down. I'm recalling a case in New York where this, you know, after racial slurs were exchanged, this group of white guys showed up at this black guy's house, and the father came out, and they reached for the gun, and the gun went off and killed the youth, and he got more time.
Mm-hmm.
I know it happened in New York, but I just can't put my finger on the particulars, you know, of that particular
case. Maybe somebody
case
in our audience remembers that case and can recall it for us. But it just repeats itself and repeats itself and repeats itself. And at some point, we've got to draw a line in the sand. And quite frankly, what happened in Oakland last night, the protests and the 152 people who were rounded up and arrested, and I stand in solidarity with every one of them. Last night, as I was looking at reports of this, I was saying to myself, my name is Oscar Grant. Don't shoot. Our number is 347-838-9852. And we've got quite a crowded chat room. And if you'd like to join in with our chatters, you can come to blogtalkradio.com/OCG, and we invite you to join in with us. I can't imagine that there aren't people who are so outraged in our audience that they don't want to share that outrage and vent a bit here. Because at some point, I keep saying it, and I won't, and I'll keep repeating it. Does it mean anything anymore to be black in America? Do you understand the question, Alpha?
Well, I mean, I understand the question and the context of the question, and you know, I've got to say, you know, Janice, the answer in and of itself, I don't think, I would put that in the category of rhetorical, because we already know the answer. This has been our experience in this nation for, you know, from go back as far as lynching. Have we receded to that? Is that what we've gone back to? Is that what the value of a black life is worth? Because at some point you have to see it for what it is. You have to see it for what is going on, and that is why it so angers so many of us when we hear, you know, people say things like, "Oh, there you go with the race card again," or, "Oh, you want to say it's a black or white thing." We even have people of color who can't get their heads around the notion that this is by design. This is no chance. You know, this is no chance occurrence. These people arrest and prosecute with extreme prejudice, and that's just the way it is. Until we stand up. Until there are enough people in the streets, this will continue. This will continue. The same thing that you see happening is the same thing that is going to happen. Yeah, they cordoned off the area and started arresting people. Now, what, for disorderly conduct, for vandalism? And how many of those charges are going to stick, are going to be able to be prosecuted up the line? Without eyewitnesses, without someone saying,
yeah,
"No, I saw this. I actually, you know, let's face it. Let's, you know, let's give it a name. Give
yeah.
it a name, because the only name you can give it is just racism."
Let's find out if 678 can give it a name. 678, you're on the air at Our Common Ground. I respect you, Hotep, and good evening.
Hotep to you, my sister. Janice, good to hear you. Alpha, good to hear
oh,
you.
Henry.
Oh, Henry.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Atlanta,
how y'all doing?
On the air.
How come you're in at work?
Yeah. It's Saturday, so I got the day off. So I decided
you only
to,
had the day off if you got a job, man. Okay?
I decided to give you guys a call. You know, what's interesting about this is one of those situations where they think we forgot. Remember, the trial was a few months back. Then on a Friday
mm-hmm.
evening on the West Coast, they sentenced this individual.
Mm-hmm.
2 years for what's at the minimum voluntary manslaughter. But I call that a murder. This young man's laying on the platform. He's on the platform in a train station. handcuffed. And he's shot and killed. And the officer's excuse is, well, I meant to reach for my taser. Now, a taser is to subdue individuals. If I'm face down and cuffed, how much more subdued can I be unless you kill me? The story didn't fly from the beginning. He blows this young man away. The charges are never what they should be, which is often the case in these situations as well. And this goes back to, well, as Alpha mentioned, you know, lynching days. We're going to use something modern. Think of the Rodney King situation. Here's this individual. He leads police in a high-speed chase, and he gets beaten within an inch of his life. And the defense you hear is, well, he ran. Well, the police thought he may have been charging at them. He may have been on PCP. You had cops beating this individual until they were arm-weary.
They slowed the video down
and decided that Rodney King was wrong. He shouldn't have put his face in the way of those night sticks that they were swinging.
Well, even better, O'Henry, in all fairness, let's look at the Rodney King case for what it was. If they run the tape backwards, it looks like they were helping him up.
Well, you know, Fire Lion is just saying something that's really important in all of this. And that is that we should have all been on the street across this nation. When you look at Troy Davis, whose last appeal, by the way, on yesterday was sent back, if you look at Troy Davis, if you look at Oscar Grant, if you look at the 7-year-old young angel's sister who was murdered in Detroit, if you look at Sean Bell, if you look at all of these cases, we have not stepped up. We have not stood strong, and they have marginalized our righteous outrage.
Exactly.
And I'm going to ask Rich Cannon to give us a call, because Rich Cannon has sent me a message. He's in our chat room, and he's saying that he was on the train. The next day, cops were on the train intimidating people,
daring you to say or do anything. Think of the Kenneth Walker situation here in Columbus, Georgia. These young men were pulled over because supposedly it was a drug stop. A young man ends up shot in the head by a machine gun, face down on the pavement, and there weren't even any drugs. They weren't even individuals involved in this. The DA refused to indict these individuals. Or what they do in this case, too, is they have a grand jury, but they don't do the charges properly, or they leave something out, or there's a technicality, and then the guys, you know, they don't want to prosecute these individuals. There's another young man named Corey Ward. He was shot by a police officer, and the police officer said, well, he was coming at me in his car. But yet he was shot in the back of the head. So he said, he tried to run over him. That wasn't the case.
But, oh, Henry, one of the things I want to get to in all of this is our role in acceptance and tolerance. Are we still black in America, and what does that mean?
They have marginalized our complaints. And, it's hard to say who they are.
We have marginalized our own anger and outrage.
I agree with that,
too. Because we have given up our own struggle.
I agree. I have to agree. The situation with the sister here in Cracker Barrel here in Georgia, where the man beat her down, you know, he got 6 months in jail and time served. He'll be out in 4 months.
And we did not stand up. You know, Brother Brock called in on Alpha's show today, and we were talking about this exact thing. We are not seeing to our own position of power.
Well, what happens with us is,
our own people,
as long as it's not me, I don't worry about it until it happens to me. Not understanding that the next time it could be me, or the time after that, or someone that I care about. But you'll hear individuals within our community say, oh, well, so-and-so shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have done that. You know, there are laws and guidelines. There's a different set of rules with them.
He had on droopy pants. What does he expect?
And even, you know, we can even take the example of the Professor Gates situation. And I'm by no means a Professor Gates fan, if you want to use that term. But what right does a police officer have to go in someone's house and antagonize them and then say, well, come on outside so we can talk and then arrest, oh, well, he was disorderly? When I think in that area where Professor Gates lives, most people know what he looks like. I think they know who he is. But those are the things that happen. And then he gets swept under the rug, and then next he hears, well, you're playing the race card. We even have individuals here who are of our own ilk who accuse us of using the race card. You were accused of using the race card the other day. I don't know if you saw it, Janice. But
yes.
My question was,
you know my response to that, right?
I know.
I never leave home without it.
Exactly.
I never leave home without it.
If they own the deck and have a handful of aces, how are we playing the race card? When they're dealing us deuces and trays, that's all we get.
Thank you.
But we have given up our power. We think we've made it, whatever that means, or that the struggle is over. And, you know, once again, we learned on Tuesday, we haven't made it. When you're dealing with America, which was built, founded, and is run on white supremacy, we have not made it. We're far from it.
You just plugged it, O. Henry. You just plugged it. Hey, O. Henry, thank you so much for your call. We've got three calls.
Okay, I'm going to keep listening.
But I think that, put a pin in what you're saying, because when we go into our second hour, we're going to be talking about the same thing, because we have an African-American president who has taken a beat down. He can barely hold his head up, and we allowed that as well, not understanding that the beat down was for us too. Hello. 925, you're on the air. I respect you, Hotep. Thank you for joining us on Our Common Ground.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, man, I was on the train the very next day.
Rich Cannon, thank you for joining us, sir.
Yeah,
how are things going out there tonight?
Well, I'm not even in the Bay Area right now, but, I mean, it wasn't, from what I saw in the news, it wasn't as bad as it was when Mayor Ron Dellums was out there leading that little phony march like a week after the shooting. It's not as intense. I think people are kind of like are numb. But, yeah, I mean, the cops were on the train. They were intimidating people for a couple weeks. And Oscar Grant was from Hayward. And I didn't live too far from Hayward when I was out there. They had cops, like, guarding the entrances. It looked like Berlin at 38. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
as though he weren't dead. And as though he were a
no,
criminal.
Well, they were anticipating people acting out because they had some handcuff straps. You know, them zip ties.
Yeah,
they had a whole bunch of...
I used those on my flowers to hold them on the stakes.
Yeah, they were suited.
Push them through and pull them through, yep.
Yeah, they were suited and booted up. And I was actually met a woman that day, and we were talking, and she actually lived right across the street from Lavelle Mixon. Lavelle Mixon was the one that shot those four cops, remember? In Oakland.
Yep.
Yeah, and during that funeral, they was waiting for people to demonstrate and protest. They had sound waves, bug sprays, and lasers, and dogs ready for people to go out and protest or come to the Oakland Coliseum that day.
So, and, you know, the thing is that this is how white supremacy works, that we are expected, we the victims, of police brutality, we the victims of racial hatred, we are expected to stand up and take it. When someone kills a cop, it's called death penalty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're talking about, see, this is the problem in a society where white supremacy and racial hatred is tolerated. That racial and cultural ignorance is tolerated. You give a person a job called a cop.
Hey, you know what
else? They are supposed to serve and protect, but what they are is scared and defend, meaning defend themselves. That is their first posture.
Yeah, well, that thing with Oscar Grant, that's only the first one you heard of. And that wasn't even the word, sadly enough. I mean, bar police have been known to kill unarmed people. That was just one we've heard of.
And bar police are no better than Keystone security cops.
Yeah, and you know what?
That's about as much training
as
they have.
You know what triggered that Oscar Grant assassination was? Black people were going around saying, oh, yeah, Barack Obama's the president, now we running stuff. And you remember how black people were talking like that?
Yes.
And that energy was thick.
Mm-hmm.
And them dogs that I call the Edomites, they smelled that energy, and they were like, man, we got to do something about these niggas. So they
and
made
put them in their place.
And they sacrificed them.
Because there is no way, Rich, that, and Alpha, there's no way that you can watch any of the video recordings of what happened and say that it was an accident. It was a deliberate, cold-blooded murder.
Yeah, I was watching the news last.
Cops were afraid. People were starting to surround the area to try to figure out what was going on. These young, ignorant, racist cops got scared. They first started with the racial slurs, and their own hormones started running, and they murdered this 22-year-old man. Rich, thank you so much for your call. We're going to go to 406.
Right.
You hang in there, my brother, because, you know, to go through that kind of that's another trauma for another black person.
Yeah, it's going to continue, too.
It's
going
to
get worse.
Witness. Yeah, it is going to get worse. You hang in there. 706, you're on the air at Our Common Ground. I respect you. Hotep.
Hotep. This is Donna Colleone. How you doing, Janice?
Fine. Thank you, my sister. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, man. I mean, thank you so much for having us. This is actually one of the most intricate topics that we do discuss damn near on an everyday basis of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was O. Henry or yourself made a question or a comment of why isn't anything being done with back-to-back brutality, killing, in the hand, I mean, you know, innocent people, basically. And let's just say, you know, I mean, no one deserves to die. Let me put that on record, all right? No one deserves to take a life, regardless of who is standing, who is holding a badge and who is holding a gun. You know what I'm saying? No one deserves to die by the hands of another human. The answer is, why is there nothing being done? Rich Cannon mentioned that they expected a riot at the funeral site. They was ready. They had mace. They had pepper spray. They had guns. They had, you know, tasers. Here's what happened to us as a black nation. We have gotten numb to fighting back since we've been here, or since we allowed the Caucasians, you know what I'm saying, to actually abuse us, castrate our men, rape our women, beat our babies with baseball bats. They have actually shell-shocked us with movies from Roots to everything on the planet, from everything they have done through entertainment, through the news media, through everything. We have done all we can do. We have took the beatings, we have took the persecution, we have took the castration, we've even accepted the poison that they gave the brothers in the Tuskegee experiment, you know, the disease there. We've accepted so much. What can we do right now together? What can we do? We're numb, Janice. I mean, We are just practically numb. You know, they did a work on us. So can we all stand up and get together and get sprayed again and bit by dogs and sprayed by hoses? There is no hoses no more. They got tasers and guns and billy clubs and horses that'll kick you in your stomach if you're a woman, and cops who hate black women, and white cops who hate black men. And it's just, and it's blacks and cops that will beat you down as well in the name of their badge, in the name of their oath. They promise to protect and serve their own, their co-workers. What do we have if we get together? And we fight? We can't fight. They'll kill us. If we protest, they already got something waiting on us, just like Rich Cannon said. You know, but we have been abused so much mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, economically. So when one of our own is shot down innocently for no reason, even if it is a reason, it's still not a reason to take a life. What do we do, Janice?
Well, I think that it's the old, old retort. And that retort is that we must learn to help each other heal. You know, if you've got a broken leg, you can't sprint. And if you try to sprint, you're simply going to not do well, and you're also going to re-injure. We keep doing all of the things that re-injure us. And we keep, we have a depressive kind of personality as a collective community, and that is that we are self-destructive. You know, have you ever, do you know the animal that, an animal will bite off its leg to get rid of an injury?
That's right.
Well, we're not taking the time to heal and get rid of the injuries. And so all of this stuff keeps piling on us, and we become re-injured and re-injured, and then we
mm-hmm.
become angry, and the anger becomes self-targeted. We target ourselves. We hate each other. We place the blame on each other.
Yeah.
And that prohibits us and creates the barrier that keeps us from loving each other in a way that makes us a one strong body. Now, how do we get beyond that, I think, is your question.
Yes.
We get beyond that by getting rid of some of our injury is like, you know, you won't believe a damn thing I say on this broadcast. But if Kathy Duwaddy goes on NBC, all right, don't start. If Kathy Duwaddy goes on NBC and says it, then it becomes gospel for so many of us because it was said on NBC.
Mm.
And that is part of the problem. And until we can get beyond that, we can't see ourselves organized. And there's the brother
and you know what? Can
down
I say
in
one
New
thing?
Orleans by the name of Kali Akono.
Mm-hmm.
And Kali heads up the U.S. Human Rights Network, or he's a leader in that organization. This brother has written a manifesto called Navigating the Storm. It is the most comprehensive strategic and tactical map for black people to follow to address both domestic and international issues that are in our interests that you have ever seen. It's absolutely brilliant. But I feign to say that black people will fight over it before they will bring it to fruition.
I agree. Can I add one more thing? And I know you probably got a whole
sure.
bunch of calls, but you know, you mentioned Obama, and you know, that's, it was certainly, you know, my grandmother passed in April, so when he got elected in 2008, the only one that I know that was more proud than anyone was our elders that was actually able to live to see that day where America got their first black president. And my grandmother lived 2 years after that and died this year. So, and passed on this year. What I want to say is that you're right with Obama. He is our brother. And a lot of people have beaten him down. One thing that interests me, since you mentioned, you know, Kathy, whoever, right, that gets on NBC, is that Obama gets on television and makes statements about the gays that are hanging themselves, and not one time batted an eye or mentioned anything about Oscar Grant and all of this death and murder that the police are doing to our people. So it kind of baffles me.
It hurts, actually,
because I think that anything is going on in America should be certainly addressed by the president, rather than it's being, you know, regardless of health care reform or unemployment or VA. It's just that, you know, I find it interesting that he'll make a comment out of the children that are suicidal because they're gay, then people that are productive black people that are being shot down by the police department or the military. No comment, none whatsoever. What is your take on that?
My take on that is that there are so many of us, and I include our president in this, that are confused and ashamed by the issue of race that we face, that we would rather deny than stand and look at our own shame. You know, they're just black people and people in this country who are ashamed of their history. I did nothing wrong. And that's where we have to be coming from. It was you who placed this history in my cycle. So our president, you have to understand, our president is not a black president. Our president is not an African, American African. He is African American. He is, in my opinion, a man who was always set apart. He was always special in the environments where he was. He is not accustomed to having to embrace white supremacy in the way we experience it, and he is confused by it because he has been very successful most of his life in living as a multiracial person. So when he has had to come full front with racism and how white supremacy works in this society, I think that he has been traumatized like the rest of us.
Well, Janice, let me add this. You know, you see the verdict that came down, and we are speaking about, you know, President Barack Obama. Where is the Justice Department? Where is an Eric Holder? This is not just, you know, manslaughter. The Justice Department could have very well come in and charged this individual on a federal level, especially after the 2-year sentence he just got. They are still able to come in and charge him at a federal level for civil rights violations.
But, Alpo, you know you've got an administration that doesn't have the courage to deal with the issue of how race works in our society.
Well,
it ain't
going to
never happen.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. But what I'm simply saying is,
cut out your eye.
It is really, if he won't prosecute war criminals, if he won't prosecute treason, what makes us believe that, you know, that an African, a black man's life is worth that type of attention? You know, Eric Holder, President Barack Obama, and the way they've conducted themselves with the power that they hold, it's simply inexcusable. I'll put it like that. I'll leave my my comment nice.
Well, to our caller on the line and to our audience, I do want to say that we have to understand that not one of us, white or black, escapes the injuries of white supremacy. Do you know how hard it must be to be white? It must be awfully hard to be white because you are contorted out of your own humanity when you participate in a white supremacist behavior pattern. And it is even, and it is equally as hard to be black because you can never win. You're feeling me? Somebody better call up here and tell me that that I'm either on the right track of thinking because I'm thinking or I have lost my mind. And sometimes, folks, you have to lose your mind to come to your senses.
To get it back. Mm-hmm.
Because Eric Holder, at some point, and I tell y'all about being baptized in black, every black man has his or her moment to be baptized in black. That is the moment where the glow comes on because you are face to face with something that you can never change, and that is the texture of white supremacy when it touches your life. Can I hear an amen from Alpha?
Amen, Janice.
For a
amen, amen.
What did you say, Janice? What did you ask me?
But what I'm saying is that it is not in the power of knowing. It is in the power of being that both white supremacy and the injury that we all suffer from it come. It was not in the power of Nelson Mandela being in Robben's Island for 28 years. It was in the power of his leaving. We're going to take some more calls. Thank you all for being with us. I see that we've got Smooth Operator and Steins and Stephen C. and Perry Steele, Not Eaton, Ms. X to the M, who have joined us, Don Nico Leon, and Citizen Black has joined us tonight, and thank you all for being with us. For those of you who are listening, you can join us at blogtalkradio.com, OCG. Alpha of the Alpha Show is my host tonight, and we are talking about the sentencing of the police officer who, in cold blood, murdered a 22-year-old Oscar Grant and received a 2-year sentence for his trouble. And when we get through our current calls, we're going to be talking about the beatdown of our president because he is not being beaten down alone. The beatdown is also for you. 610, you're on the air. I respect you, Hotep, and thank you for your call. What are your comments tonight?
Yes, hello, Hotep. Brother Brock over here.
Hotep, Brother Brock. PA.
Good day to everybody. Chat room is
Brock,
full, loaded. People are listening. People are discouraged and pissed off for good reason. And I'd just like to quickly chime in and allow other people to get on the phone as well. Good to hear everybody. My 2 points would be, and I'll work on the back end, since you just mentioned whatever happens to us also happens to the president. I'm not going to disagree, but I'm going to give a reason why the outrage is not there, in my opinion. Since we're all, a long time ago, we were all in the same boat. We were all, in general, as far as people of color, trying to move up. And at that time, civil rights brought people together. We had a dynamic leader. Kept people on the same page. We were all on the same page because of our economic struggle. Even I was just a little in the baby's womb for the most part. We're talking about way back during our original civil rights when it first was kicking off in 1950s, 60s. So at that point, it was easy for people to fight for the cause because everybody was in the same boat. Fast forward now, the president does not want people's help. He's not asking, saying to people that he's a person of color when he was campaigning. All you know, one or two times since then, you've heard him say he was a person of color. But in general, he's on a different plateau, and so many other people on a different plateau because the civil rights movement was effective when Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream." That dream was for people to be the best they can be. So my parents did not educate me to stay in the struggle, did not tell me to come on out and be a strong black protest, Black Panther, et cetera, et cetera. No, they went the exact other way. You got to go down this other street. You got to go to school over there. You got to learn how to blend in. You got to be, you know, that road. And so many people I grew up with went down that same road. So the levels have changed. So my point is people are not going to be on that same outrage level. So when the BART situation took place, so many brothers that I know, they were still just watching their 56-inch colored TVs when the sports games was on, going to work in the morning to their $70,000 jobs, $100,000 jobs. It did not affect them. Yeah, they watched it, they heard about it, they could tell you about it, but what did they do physically? Nothing. It didn't affect them. So the group economic has changed so drastically. We are not all in the same boat, so we don't feel that pain the way other people do. And then the bottom of the scale, the crack addicts, the people with thugs and thieves, you can't count them in for help for the protest because they're stuck on stupid. The baggy pants people, you know, the nut cases. So we're not all in that same boat. There's no such thing as that same boat now. We don't even have a leader now. You know, nobody wants to step to the plate to be the leader because the group is so diverse, so different. And I think that plays a pivotal role in answering your question. Are we still black? Are we fighting back? Does what happened to the president affect us? I think all that comes down to that. The group is just so much different these days.
Well, let me take you back to a comment that was made by the previous caller.
Okay.
And her impassioned reasoning was just so on point, because whether we know it or not, we are still, every one of us, we are still in the same boat. I'll give you a good example of what, I'll give you a Negro example. Can I give you a Negro example, Brock?
Of course you can.
Here's my Negro example. We have people who worked very hard to send their children to the best of Ivy League schools, et cetera, et cetera. And that's been going on now for about one generation. Worked very hard. They ignored black people, ignored black issues, ignored the white supremacy in front of them, racial hatred that they faced every day, so that they could guarantee that their children would have a better life than they had. Some benchmark set during the civil rights era. Well, guess what? Those are the people who are now being laid off, can't get a job. In Arizona, they can't benefit from having years and years and years of past discrimination because affirmative action has been essentially outlawed. And across this country, for those of you who never got the memo, here's the memo. Affirmative action has never worked for any of us. It has never been enacted. So we're the ones who are going to spend another generation of economic and social simply surviving. still get nothing for.
I got to disagree with that, and especially if you listen to Brother Rayshon. I think he's in the chat room today. He'll definitely tell you no to that. And to your example, yes, plenty of people got laid off, furloughed, downsized, lost their job. But I still know the exact same amount of people who are still making over $100,000, comfortable at their job. So some people are bulletproof.
But Rock,
some people are just not.
Rock, $100,000 for a well-educated, well-seasoned a professional is nothing.
Oh, no. I just don't know the other people. I read Black Enterprise. And
okay.
People in there left
I
right
am telling
about
you, it is nothing.
$1 million. I don't know those people. I'm just saying the people I grew up with. So, yes,
uh-huh,
there are other people
uh-huh.
out here. When I read Black Enterprise every month. So there are plenty of other people that who are really getting it. They are Mac Daddy, Sister.
But do you know how many black people there are in America?
Well, we're talking
12%. As compared to what black, I read Black Enterprise, too. I am Black Enterprise.
Okay. so you're above the fray also, but you feel the pain because I know you got hit with different things because the way you protest. So I'm sure it has hurt you, but you still managed to get up.
Because I grew up in a place where I know genuine dignity.
Okay.
I know genuine dignity. Authentic black people don't go for the hokey doke. Because in the end, no matter how much you make, if your son or your daughter walks out of the house with baggy pants on and a hoodie, they got a target on their back. No denying that.
No denying that. And that's why they will
okay?
make sure that their children don't
look
go
at,
out
look
the
at
house
Bill Cosby's
like
son. Let's just use that example. Bill Cosby.
The one that was murdered?
Ennis, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And that had blatant racism on it because he
there
was a white lady.
There is no immunity.
And the
folks, if you're out there like thinking you're immune because you
yeah.
make $200,000, you are not immune.
I agree with that
At
part.
The end of the day, what did we learn? At the end of the day, Brock, what did we learn about being black in America?
That we're still a black
Come on,
America.
Alpha.
At the
end of the day, what is it?
I don't care how much money you got. I don't care where you grew up. I don't care where you think you
Come
are
on,
going or
it.
Where you think you've been. The bottom line is you are just considered a nigga, period. You're a nigga first and foremost.
Even though we know that, I know that. But talk to Clarence Thomas. You can't make him understand that. He'll tell you till the cows come home that's not true. Because
you can't reach him.
Clarence Thomas will tell you that Scalia will tell him to shut the fuck up in a minute.
But that's my point. Some people won't believe their lying eyes, or however you want to put it. They'll just go down their path and keep their blinders on because it's effective for them. It works for them. That works for them.
Sometimes you have to do what works for you.
That's why I'm getting that. That's
what
why
used to work don't work no more. I hear
different.
Smooth Operator's question about multiracial folks. Multiracial folks are not black people. They're
people of color.
Biracial. Which makes them a different person until somebody doesn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to keep listening in the background and hang up and let more people call. I want to hear other people's voices.
You know, I love talking to you, Brock. You know I love talking to you, brother.
Keep up the good work, and I'm still here. Talk to you guys later.
All right, brother.
Thank you. Alpha, let's go to 919. You're on the air. I respect you, Hotep. Thank you for joining us on Our Common Ground. 919? Alpha, I'm not hearing 919. Are you hearing 919?
I'm not 919? Hearing 919 either.
Okay, why don't we go for a break, and when we come back, we'll take your calls at 347 838 9852, because I think it's a pertinent question. Are we still black in America, and what does that mean? We'll hang on to Smooth Operator's question. And Stephen C. had a question, and that is, to what extent has hip-hop and rap music contributed to the, Alpha, I would say the damn near invisibility that is clouding our sense and place of power? I'm Janice Graham, and my co-host is Alpha of the Alpha Show. You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
I need those hits. Hit me.
Our Common Ground. Talk that matters. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you.
My life was going downhill fast. Everybody was on my case. Now, I kept hoping that life would change real soon. I knew drinking too much messed up my life. A friend suggested I check out AA. It worked. I found myself in an AA group. Finally, I've got my act together. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Our Common Ground. Talk that matters. Speaking truth to power and ourselves. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Common Ground, and for all of our listeners, thank you for joining us on this Saturday night. It really is a wild, wild west, and one of the things that we do have to do, Alpha, is we have to be soldiers of love in our own community. And if that is true, being black in America would still matter in terms of public policy and policy leadership behavior, and we don't have that.
Well, Dennis, you know, the question has been put out as to what do we do? And let me just say this. In a parallel to our plight here in the United States, we see what another people, how other people react across the ocean. Look at the Palestinians. Look at how it has gotten to that point where it is just irreversible. And look at what they've done. Now, suicide bombers. That's all, you know, you strap up with explosives and you basically go out and you have martyrs for justice. And they will continue to do this over and over and over again.
until they get it. But instead of Israel getting it, the first thing they respond the same way that the white supremacists here respond, with force and with more violations of your rights and more killings. And that's what the response is to the people, you know, in Gaza and on the West Bank. So when you get right down to it, what are we supposed to do? Is this a time for suicide bombings? Is this a time for bombings in general? And a lot of people, black people who have made it, are so busy separating themselves from those who haven't and those who have not. You know, that, you know, they don't seem to hold the same interests or hold the same, you know, values as people who simply achieve and remain, you know, amongst their own. Everyone who makes it simply tries to remove themselves, simply tries to escape. And that's where lies the problem. Because people are more interested in, well, we have this opportunity to make it, to live amongst them. We had a very good scenario as long as segregation was in. We didn't have equality, but we had pride and we had a cohesiveness in our community, and we had businesses in our community. We had meat markets. We had bankers. We had lawyers. We had, you know, the Black Wall Street experience in Oklahoma. You know, these are the things that we had, and we were doing just fine until everybody wanted to live with them. And this is not, you know, I'm not in any way, you know, on the end of a, you know, some black nationalist rant or anything to that effect. I'm simply saying, look at it for what it is.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons that I think that we have to be really cautious about our response to the white supremacist attacks on this president. Because there is a message and everyone hears it. For instance, as he loses, we lose the power of our argument about racism in America, in our workplaces, in our communities. 610 is on the line. 610, you're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for joining us at Our Common Ground. And for those of you who would like to join in this conversation, our number here is 347-838-9852. Thank you for calling.
No, this is Brother Brock. I'm listening on the phone, so you can mute me.
Oh, okay. We'll put you on hold.
You can beep us
when you want to chime in. 919, are you there?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
I've got a 91. Oh, you're listening. Thank you. And thank you for joining us. Alpha, one of the things that I think we have to be clear about is that the messages that have been delivered to Barack Obama resound in every one of our lives. It is not isolated to him as the president. It is a message about your place in this country. He is out of place. He shouldn't be where he is, and there is no tolerance for they see him as a black man. There is no tolerance for their America to be led by a black man. Now, that message has to be translated in terms of how all black people are affected by the message. Our number is 347-838-9852. And what I'm saying is that this brother has been beat down. He is our brother. And it is a message to black America, not just him. It is not all about him. It is about us as well. the first African-American president since Reconstruction. He has been the victim of brutal attacks since he took office, and this onslaught of white supremacy and racial hatred has not only rendered him confused and ineffectual, but it has rendered a shock, a fracture to all black people as the targets. And they can't deport us. I don't think they can deport us. Did they pass a law today that they could deport us? Maybe tonight? So
well,
what they do
not the
is
last
they
time
despise
I looked.
Us.
The last time I looked, we
they
were
dismiss
still...
They dismiss us.
Well, did they change the 14th Amendment yet? Or the 16th? Or
I
the,
don't know.
Or the 4th?
But when I looked into his face, I saw the faces of every one of my brothers who might be rendered confused and dazed by what they have done, and we have tolerated it. They can't deport us, so they despise us and dismiss us. They slash and dash at our greatest aspirations. And my question is, how are we going to get our groove back? What is it going to mean when we fight back? We can't blame him for everything.
Exactly. But that's the whole, that's the game plan. This is why I get so frustrated in his lack of understanding about what they're doing to him. And did you see the article today? Their plan is to come at him from all angles. Come at him from
every... They've already come at him from all angles. That was just, this is just a setup for section... For what I'm going to call level two.
Well, that's it. So if what they are doing has been successful, why would they change? Why would he think that they are going to change? And why can't he see a need to, you know, stand erect with a backbone, have a spine, fight back? And to those
okay, let's get this fighting back thing in perspective. All of us, every one of us, have been to the place where we have been minimized, marginalized, and dismissed, no matter what we do. I got people who didn't even hardly graduate from a rat-a-tat law school who tried to tell me with my Ivy League legal training and 35 years of legal experience that I'm wrong on some simple bullshit. That's how it happens. So here you have this man who knows what he is wants to do, but under this assault, he is ashamed. Can you imagine? You have struggled to be elected by the people of the most powerful country in the world to be their leader. And some drunk by the name of John Boehner. And some closet lacking courage, Eric Cantor, who won't come out of the closet because he has no courage to be who he is. And a man who looks like he had a stroke every day for the last 10 days named O'Connell. What's the man's name?
Mitch O'Connell.
What's his name, Alpha? Mitch O'Connell. Make happy with him. You know and I know you would be folded by that kind of attack. And that is what has happened to this man. We have a president who's in shock that such an attack would ever even be considered. These people are behaving in a way that he has never imagined. He didn't grow up in the Deep South.
That's
he would never have imagined.
You know, people speak about him being smart, Harvard educated, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. He hasn't lived the black experience.
So he has been essentially insulated and isolated from the kind of attack under which he has been subject since he won this election. I mean, you even think about it. People like Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton and I went to the same college, the same kind of standards of behavior, public behavior. Even when she was running against him, she did some things that were so deliberate, that were so ugly, that were so outside of the accepted social norm that you had to stand back with your eyebrows raised. These people are in shock, and their shock has caused them to be everything that we knew that they were. But we are allowing this president to carry the weight, and we say we don't understand what he's doing. I understand because I've been in three Fortune 500 companies, and I know how white people will stand up and try to convince you you're never going to be good enough. And that's what they have done. But what this president does have to do, he has to decide that he is going to be a runaway slave. That's what he's got to do. And you know what runaway slaves do? They do everything to stay free. Now, what does that mean for him? And what does that mean for us? We didn't have his back. We stood up and said, yes, we can with this man. And then we went home and said, okay, go ahead and do it. Do it with what? He couldn't do it without us. I'm going to ask people in our audience. You know any successful black people that have not had the support of black people? I don't. What about you, Alpo?
No, I can't say I have. I really can't.
Absolutely.
And when you said it, I began to think about it. And
absolutely.
No.
Because
no.
You know what? Black people know instinctively that they cannot survive with having people who understand the journey that they are on. That's why I stay close to black people and always have, because I grew up in the South and I learned that when you go outside of the community and the community has your back, that is when you are powerful. This man is afraid. I'd be afraid, too, if I had a whole country of, what was it, tea packers? What do you call them? What do you call them, Alpo?
Tea baggers.
If I had a body of white supremacists who targeted me day after day after day, at my job, the white supremacists, I can walk away from them. He cannot walk away from them. And they have rendered him, they have stolen his spirit. And if you don't believe me, go back and look at the video. What do they call it? Repeat the video? Playback the video? Go back to the video.
Instant replay.
Go to instant replay and watch a Barack Obama in June of 2008. And watch a Barack Obama in June of 2010. And you tell me that they didn't steal the best of what we have to offer, and we tolerate it. Because we get right on the phone with the rest of them and beat him down. Now, we have to understand that we have different warriors. You know, I'm not getting in this bullshit that everybody wants to talk about chess. Most people who talk about chess don't know anything about chess. But I will say this, that every soldier has, on the battlefield, has his, her, or her own positioning. I know that I am a field command hand. That's what I am. There are some people who are battery, what do you call it, Alpha, the battery, the people who put the ammunition in the cannons. There are some people who light the cannons. There are soldiers who run across the battlefield shooting and dodging. There are some soldiers who do something else. The President of the United States cannot be on the battlefield running around with a gun. They have got to be at the command center. So how many of us have been in front of the White House? How many of us have been in front of our state houses? How many of us have called every congressperson who represents us and say, you are being held responsible for the nonsense that's going on in this country?
And everyone should have called the Black Caucus, what, 40 years ago, 20 years ago. I don't think
when the white folks started clamoring about Barack Obama, the Black Caucus started clamoring right behind them. When Rachel Maddow and her friends couldn't get what they wanted, they beat down this president. I will not forget it. They beat down this president, and they didn't support the Scott sisters, and they didn't talk about Oscar Grant. It took them 4 months to call it what it was when they knew what it was, and then they didn't understand what it was, and it was a white supremacist attack on the President of the United States, behavior which has never, ever in the history of this entire nation been seen. Richard Nixon, George Bush, Bill Clinton never saw the kind of dirt and ugliness. And I looked at that. I tell you, I looked at that. I looked at that press conference on Wednesday. Even the press feels that it's okay to challenge the President of the United States in public, openly, and ugly. Folks, that's the brand and the branding of tolerance of white supremacy in our midst. We better get real clear, Alpha, about that this is not just about him. This is a message to black people, and the message to black people is you are no more revered or wanted in 2010 than you were in 1932.
Well, Dennis.
Now, as this president, as you always say, made lots of mistakes, you're damn right. But I don't see anybody in the chat room or listening to my voice who will go to their jobs and call white supremacy out the way in which it should be called out, directly and on point. Not one of us. So this president is supposed to get in front of a camera, in front of the nation, and call out this crap? I think not. But I don't have a problem with him being a one-term president as long as he gets the job done, and he needs to get in there and be clear with a simplified health care program. He needs to get in there with a clear program about what we're going to do about education in this country.
Janice, let me say this. My criticism of this president has been simply this.
I'm from the city of Chicago. I'm from the South Side. I'm from the project. At some point, you have to have that vein in you of, I'm not going to take this.
Mm-hmm.
I may be the president of the United States, but look at the opportunities. Look at the, there is something.
I understand.
There is something very primal to having the guts to fight back, to respond to an attack. Let me put it like this, and I'll draw this analogy. If he were walking in the streets of the city of Chicago with his wife and someone tried to attack her, would he then try to compromise? But this is what he is doing by constantly trying to compromise and capitulate. The analogy itself is a broad.
I hear you, Alpha. I hear you and I agree, but I think that there's some detail that we are missing. Let's go back to what I outlined about how we operate on our jobs. If there is a problem at somebody's job and you start, you know how people go around and say, hey, did you know that this director did this or this director did that, and do you agree about it? People will not come at it directly. Alpha, we've got a call from 773. Let's go to this call and bring 773 into the conversation. Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Our Common Ground. Hotep, I respect you. 773?
That must be me.
No.
I didn't call back.
What? You called back.
I said, I didn't call back. I don't. Are you sure it's not me, Janice?
773-366. Hello. Okay. Well, the mic is open.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. I didn't raise my hand, but I'll talk. This is Fire Linus, and as I put in the
Fire
chat
Linus
room,
thank you, my sister,
Chicago,
for
half of the black people in Chicago didn't even know who Obama was. He was so nonchalant and quiet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right, Fire Linus, because when he broke on the scene, he was simply the guy with the funny name. So when people talk
was also his dance with Bobby Rush and who he aligned himself with when he made that run against Bobby Rush. I mean, you can't come into my neighborhood and try to cut down all my neighbors' roses and think we're going to like you. Is that right, Fire Linus?
Well, that's what happened, but then when he was in Springfield as a state senator, he didn't do anything for the black people on the south side of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
You know, and as far as, you know, everybody keeps talking about he's married to a sister, and I'm going to put this on the record. His wife is a member of the Council for Foreign Relations. She doesn't have any connection to black people. You know, what we kept saying was, you need to look at him and figure out who he is. This man has no connection to black people. His family was not slaves. His mother was white. And he saw his daddy one time out of his life. He wrote a book about it.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, and that's why I'm saying that is his experience is different and his record is different. And there are people even in my activist circle who are asking the question whether or not he's a sleeper, because a lot of this stuff is not making any sense. But we haven't tested him, and that is my problem. We have not tested him.
No, because everybody was so jumping the gun that it was a black face getting ready to be the president. And that's exactly what we got. We got a black face, a white man in a black body. And he could care less. He told us point blank he is not going to discuss the black issue. Now, what else does he need to say to you?
Well,
how clear
you know
can
what?
He make it?
But I'm also looking at our own record, Firelinus. We didn't challenge George Bush. We didn't challenge Bill Clinton. Look what Clinton did to poor people in this country. We let a governor of Arkansas stand up when he became president talking about he was our black president. That was bullshit as far as I was concerned. Because if you look at poor black people in Arkansas, and if you look at what he did, he raped poor black single women in this country through welfare reform, and he made no apologies for it.
Let's get serious, Janice.
And we didn't run his ass out of town.
Bill Clinton came in hardcore progressive. Bill Clinton was all about doing what he thought was progressive up until he got caught with Monica Lewinsky. Bill Clinton got impeached in the House of Representatives, and he made a deal to save his ass with the Senate that he would pass every Republican agenda. So let's get serious. Now, they're already talking about impeaching Barack Obama. And the same damn thing is going to happen all over again. So black people didn't have any connection to Bill Clinton. We wasn't running around saying he was a black president. That was a joke as far as black people was concerned. But we did have a connection because we saw a black face. There's a difference between Bill Clinton. We knew what Bush was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we expected more from this supposedly black man.
Well, you know, let me say this, and we're going to be running out of time on the clock here. But we have got to, as a people, deal with the hand that we have been dealt rather than the hand that we imagine and delude ourselves. When President Obama threw Reverend Jeremiah Wright under the bus, I was damn near done personally with the whole thing.
Yeah, that was a tip.
That was a tip. But then when you look at how we sat back, there was not a protest. There has been no protest by us as a people against this president to say, whoa, buddy, hold your horses, because this is what we want. And he said it. Firelinus, he couldn't have said it any clearer when he was running. You will get nothing from me other than that which you demand. And my question is, are we still black in America, and have we demanded what we need? When he started putting all those Valerie Jarrett, what in the hell does Valerie Jarrett really know about domestic policy in America? Not a damn thing other than what cabinet people tell her, and she regurgitates it back to the president.
That's why they
we
call
have
it
not
off,
said to him, Duncan Arnold is not doing what we need. But
well,
I hear you, Firelinus.
He took the whole Chicago group there. He took the whole Chicago group there. None of them had any experience in Washington. They were little fish in a big pond,
they
got ate up.
How many people are going to Washington for November 13th for the Back to Black Coalition protests? You see what I'm saying? And until this president understands that we are going to deal with him on the issue of illiteracy of our children, on the issue of the lack of prosperity for poor people to eat and to survive in this country, until they understand that we are not going to continue to be the victims of their injustice because we are going to be in their face, we're going to get what we get. Because we keep doing what we keep doing. Fire Linus, I've got to go. Thank you, my dear sister. I love you madly. And we hope that you'll continue to be with us every Saturday night here at Our Common Ground. Because we've got to speak truth to power. But we've got to also speak truth to ourselves. And we haven't done our part, in my opinion. I don't know if that's Alpha's opinion. Alpha, is that your opinion?
Oh, you're right. You're right about that. You know, I look at where we are, where we've been, and where we're going. And it's the same old adage. It's that you keep doing what you've been doing, you're gonna keep getting what you got.
That's right.
And that's where
right.
we are. And he's gonna
that's
continue
exactly
to
where we are.
To reach out his hand and be battered from pillar to post. And we're going to keep getting what we got.
Well, the thing is that it's something that I say all the time. We also have not extracted accountability from the places that owe us. And the places that owe us are people who stand out here and they want to be celebrities instead of being leaders. The people, I mean, if you think about all of the people that were available to this president to formulate a black political agenda, and that has not happened, and it's not being articulated out of the office of domestic policy of this White House, then we've still got a problem. Alpha, I really want to thank you for joining me each Saturday night. It's really a pleasure to be with you and banter this stuff back and forth, because we're losing in many ways, and I don't know how we recuperate from this potential to become invisible in this country. But it's certainly, I'm not going to be caught in this whole notion of holding this president accountable for what I have not done. Are you hearing me?
I understand. I agree.
I have not done. We want to thank all of our callers, and especially Fire Lioness and Brother Brock O'Henry. We want to thank all the many people, new people in our chat room, Citizen Black and the Voxar. Don't forget to catch Let's Talk at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow night. Randy Simonette, Smooth Operator, Stephen C. Steins. Walter Franks, YJ, Doc Don is here with us tonight. Lion's Den, K James, House Music Lover. We all, Miss X to the M, have enjoyed your comments and your contributions to this broadcast tonight. We'll be right back next Saturday night, 10 p.m., and don't forget to enjoy the Alpha Show. I'm Janice Graham, and thanks to Alpha for being with us as well.
It was known as the Republican Party, but that brand was not good after 2006 and Bush and 2008, so they got a new name like KFC.
The most authentic Tea Party candidate, the most authentic Tea Party.
Give you the world on a silver platter. Would it even matter? You'd still be mad at me if I could find an old
Thank you for joining us here at Our Common Ground on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Alpha, our guest host tonight, and all of our calls. We look for you and we'll be listening for you each Saturday night, 10 p.m., here at Our Common Ground. Speaking truth to power and ourselves. Bringing an informed black voice to the public square with talk that matters. At Our Common Ground.